Tomorrow morning, former special counsel Robert Mueller is set to testify before the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees about his report on Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election. Most of the focus is expected to be on the question of collusion between Russian actors and the Trump campaign and whether the president obstructed justice during the investigation, which means Mueller's key findings on election security may fall by the wayside. The former special counsel underscored the importance of those findings during a press conference at the end of May.
And I will close by reiterating the central allegation of our indictments that there were multiple systematic efforts to interfere in our election. And that allegation deserves the attention of every American.
More than a year out from the 2020 presidential election, we wanted to find out what's being done on the state level to combat against foreign interference at the ballot box. And I'm joined now by California Secretary of State Alex Padilla and Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Steinmann. Thanks to you both for being with us.
Thanks for having us.
Secretary Padilla, let's start with you. How did the 2016 presidential election and the meddling by Russian state actors change your priorities as a person in charge of California's elections?
Well, it certainly was not just an eye-opener, but a game-changer. I think prior to 2016, most people would view a Secretary of State as someone who oversees elections and should be working to increase voter registration and turnout rates, but quickly became the office most people look to ensure that there is no foreign interference in our election, significantly different than what the view was prior. And I just got to say, Special Counsel Mueller got it absolutely right. You know, the documentation of the various strategies of how to undermine our democracy are laid out in his indictments, in the report, and I do think they should get more attention in tomorrow's hearing than we've heard thus far.
Secretary Steinmann, the last few years have really, before the Mueller investigation, we've seen issues with our election system across the United States. The Department of Homeland Security has declared them to be critical infrastructure. And yet, when you look back to the 2016 campaign, did you notice any vulnerabilities that the election may have highlighted in that infrastructure?
Yes, absolutely. And I think Alex is right. You can divide the election world into two halves, pre 2016 and post 2016. It was absolutely a watershed event. Minnesota was one of the 21 states targeted by the Russian government. That's a fact. That's not subject to debate. And now looking back, especially with the aid of hindsight, we can see the vulnerabilities that were there. Some of them are technical. Some of them are very detailed. But some of them are just about the overall communication structure with the federal government, with intelligence authorities. And I have to say, we've come a long way since then. I think things are much, much better than they were in the 2016 election.
Secretary Padilla, how closely have you been working so far with federal officials to ensure that California state and local elections are more secure this time around?
Well, working pretty darn closely. And I must say, the relationship and quality of our collaboration has vastly improved in the last 3-4 years. Want to also distinguish, because voters deserve to know, two types of interference we're talking about. One, you know, were there votes flipped, election results changed? That's not the case. That hasn't been seen anywhere in the country. But clearly, there was a systematic disinformation campaign, not just, but especially on social media, to try to create confusion, chaos, and undermine confidence in our elections, but the voters in America deserve better.
Secretary Steinmann, based on what we saw in 2016, what are your biggest concerns and, I guess, priorities when it comes to possible interference in the 2020 election?
Well, a couple come to mind. One is the spread of the techniques that the Russian government used in 2016. What the intelligence authorities have told us often, unanimously, and recently, is to expect more of this and expect it from more sources, not just the one government, but perhaps other governments, and not just governments, but perhaps non-governmental actors. The second thing that I'll be looking towards in 2020 is even better communications between the states and the federal government. It's good now, as Secretary Padilla said, but I think it could be even better, particularly in cases where, for example, if there's a county in Minnesota, my state, or California, Secretary Padilla's state, or any state that is experiencing a cyber incident or an intrusion, we have to make sure that the federal government shares that information with everybody, not just the county affected, but with the actual states that oversee the system as well. So I'll be looking to that as one of the critical areas for 2020.
And Secretary Padilla, what, I mean, is it even possible to prepare for a possible attack? Are there stress tests, if you will, that you can run in order to make sure that the infrastructure will be properly functioning?
Absolutely. You know, there's several years ago, in the final days of the Obama administration, the Department of Homeland Security designated our elections infrastructure as what's referred to as critical infrastructure, similar to our utilities, our banking system, et cetera. And through that process, a lot of what are considered best practices, both from the public and the private sector, have been shared and applied to the elections world. So that does involve a lot of different types of technical testing, as well as establishment of protocols for how we do share information or intelligence about incidents or threats. So that's what I point to when I say the relationship between state and federal governments has vastly improved in the last few years. But I should be specific. That relationship has improved with the rank and file professionals at the various federal agencies. Unfortunately, one of the challenges that we have going into 2020 is that work is constantly undermined by Trump. Every time he undermines the findings of our intelligence agencies, or every time Senator McConnell blocks bipartisan legislation to further invest in election security, it makes our job even harder.
Well, let's talk about that, because Congress last year did set aside about $380 million for new election equipment. 60% of that was earmarked for cybersecurity. Is that enough? And I'll pose that question to each of you, Secretary Padilla and Secretary Simon.
Well, I'll go first. Was that money helpful? Yes. Was it timely? Yes. Was it enough? Not even close. And I also want to be clear on this. That was not new money. The monies that was appropriated to state last year for election security was simply the final disbursement of Help America Vote Act dollars approved in 2002. That was meant to address butterfly ballots and hanging chads. That was never designed to be Cyber Threat 2020 funding.
Secretary Simon.
Well, I think it will tide us over in Minnesota through 2020. But in the long term, we're going to have a federal partner on the money side. You know, Department of Homeland Security, as good as they've been the last couple of years, they will come into our office, for example, and other offices for weeks at a time sometimes, camp out, write reports, make recommendations, and they're good. But they all have price tags. They have big price tags. And state budgets just aren't in a position to cope with or address those price tags. So the expense alone means that we need a federal partner here. So I'm hoping that this disbursement that we got, while we're very grateful for it, is a sign of things to come in the future. It has to be a national priority, and that means dollars attached.
Are either of you concerned that the talk of election interference and the fact that this was something that Mueller made very clear in his report did happen is something that could undermine not just the cybersecurity infrastructure, the actual machines, but also just the psychology of how voters feel about their vote being cast? Are you worried that this might affect turnout?
I do, and I think we should, because anything that creates doubt in the minds of a voter, and if it's to the point where a voter will decide not to go vote because they're not sure if their ballot will count or be counted as cast, in my book, that's a form of voter suppression. Voters deserve to have confidence in the integrity of our electoral system. I know we work diligently across the country to ensure that, but the people need to know that. They need to feel that. Honestly, if 2018 is any indicator, in California, we had record registration and record turnout. So to me, that's a great sign that people are paying attention, not just to politics, but the extent to which we're working to ensure the integrity of the vote.
Secretary Simon.
Yeah, I mean, the Russian goal in 2016, apart from any preference they might have had in the outcome, was to sow confusion, to sow doubt, and to raise questions about our election system. The good news is we've rallied in the last two or three years here. And I think, speaking for Minnesota, we too had record turnout. We were number one in the country in voter turnout. And I think people are getting the message that no votes were changed. We're on it. The federal government is partnering with us. But there is always that danger that someone might conclude that their vote just won't be safe. And we want to dispel that notion. We want to let people know that we're ready. We're poised to meet the threat. We can't guarantee any that there won't be any intrusion or attempted intrusion, but we can do the best that we can do, and we are, to make sure that the election system is safe.
Are either of you concerned, as we mentioned at the beginning of the conversation, that it's unlikely that the House Judiciary and Intelligence Committees would touch much on election security in these hearings that we're expected to hear tomorrow with Special Counsel Robert Mueller? Are you worried that there isn't enough federal and national conversation about this? Secretary Padilla.
There's certainly attention, not just in the House, but in the Senate as well. But we don't have is leadership in the Senate that will allow for bipartisan measures to advance, bipartisan measures to not just establish higher security standards for how we conduct elections in America, but to support those standards with the funding that's necessary to tackle modern day threats against our democracy and, frankly, the age of our voting infrastructure across America.
California Secretary of State Alex Padilla and Minnesota Secretary of State Steve Simon were with us. Thanks to you both.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Jeffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at The New Yorker. So join us every week on The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.